The cowards behind this will see a coordinated response. See a united city that can't be so easily broken.
I'll go with you. Silver held up a hand, even as his bear lunged to its feet in rejection of the idea of her going out into the cold night.
Yes, I'm weak, but if I don't show up at an incident in my own city that's claimed mostly, perhaps only, human victims, I may as well resign as director of MNET.
With that, she disappeared into a room, and when she returned, she'd shed his sweatshirt and changed into a fresh white shirt. She'd also swapped out her sneakers for ankle boots. That quickly, she was cool, elegant Silver Merchant again, even in jeans and with not a single gray hue in sight.
People of all races need to believe in me for MNET to work.
Fighting back his protective urge to throw her on the bed, order her to rest and shut the door, all that would get him was a sore head when Silver turned her telepathic muscles against him, Valentian instead ran to Nova's quarters and borrowed one of his sister's coats. It was darkest gray. Tracking Silver's scent to the exit from Denholm after he'd spoken to Stasia about sending in a rescue team behind them, he felt his raging protectiveness calm.
No emergency teleport?
He hated the idea of her being out of his sight when she hadn't yet recovered from the attempted poisoning, especially if she'd left without a coat when the temperature had plunged.
I don't want to split Caleb's energy.
Accepting the coat with a nod of thanks, she added,
I'm used to coordinating resources remotely, so a delayed arrival on site won't matter.
She did exactly that during the drive, using both her phone and her telepathic senses as necessary. She updated him in the short periods when she was free.
First responders have pulled out 3 survivors so far, but my sources say the bar was packed for a private celebration. A wedding reception.
Valentian's claws shoved against his skin, the ugly pointlessness of it all infuriating him.
There were probably changelings in there too.
No bears identified, Silver said, her tone careful. Valentian's hand squeezed the steering wheel.
As far as I know, no one was in the city to attend a wedding reception, but I'll alert Peter to check that all our people are accounted for.
The thought of losing even one more person from his clan. The two of them were still 10 minutes out from the city when Silver's phone beeped. The person on the other end must have spoken as soon as Silver answered, because she listened in silence. Valentian couldn't hear anything, Silver utilizing the earpiece that had been part of the tech package he'd given her. A button microphone was attached to the collar of her shirt.
Yes, she said a short time later. Moscow does need to show a united face to our enemies, but that can be done by a single high-ranking member of your pack at the scene.
A pause.
It would be better if it wasn't you. Alpha Nikolaev will be there very shortly. Caleb is present already. I don't want all 3 alphas in the region in one place.
Selenka. He didn't need to ask Silver to confirm. There were only 3 true alphas in this region. Valentian, Selenka, and Krychek. And Silver was right. The 3 of them shouldn't be in the hot zone at the same time. It might prove too tempting a target for anyone who wanted to destabilize the area.
You should pull in the non-predatories,
he said after she ended her conversation with the Black Edge Alpha.
Already in progress, Silver replied. A disproportionately high number of the local mountain pony herd are in the medical field. The others I've asked my MNET assistant to contact.
Valentia knew her assistant was Sai. The stern woman had given him the stink eye many a time when he dropped by to speak to Silver.
You need to have a human and a changeling in your inner circle,
he said as he drove hell for leather through the traffic in the city proper.
It's more efficient to work with fellow telepaths. Everything you do in MNET is finely balanced. You made that clear when you came along on this trip.
Even though her face was too pale and her strength shaky, biting back his bear's bellow of displeasure at how she was mistreating herself, he said,
No one race can be seen to have more influence or power.
I'll take the suggestion under consideration.
Silver's fingers moved on her phone.
The problem with choosing a changeling is that many of you are antagonistic to other changeling species.
Predators won't always accept orders from a non-predatory workmate, while two different predators can get into dominance battles. Valentin couldn't argue with any of that.
You're the smartest person I know, Starlight.
Bar none.
You'll figure it out, but you can't keep it Psy only at the top.
Noticing the traffic jam up ahead, dust rising up to blur the glittering Moscow skyline and a sea of brake lights coloring the night scarlet, he brought the vehicle to a stop on the side of the street.
Can you walk the distance?
He knew better than to offer to carry her, but he could bull his way through in the all-wheel drive. It'd be messy and noisy, and it'd piss off a lot of people, but it was doable. And he was a bear. It wouldn't be the first time he'd made people swear and wave their fists at him.
I can walk.
Exiting the vehicle, the two of them moved down the sidewalk. It grew more and more congested the nearer they got to the disaster zone. He made sure he was in the front, so Starlight wouldn't be jostled. Most people shrank back from the force of his dominance, or maybe it was the scowl on his face. They arrived at the cordon set up by the first responders, were immediately waved in. Controlled chaos lay beyond, with an enforcement officer attempting to organize the surge of help from various agencies and groups. Sweaty and overwhelmed, he clearly didn't have the training for it. Valentin saw his shoulders drop in open relief when he spotted Silver.
Miss Merkant,
he said in Russian.
I think this qualifies as an MNET situation.
Silver caught the ball, ran with it.
Who's already here?
She asked without preamble.
Tell me what resources I have to work with.
The officer, looking much less harassed now that someone else was in charge, listed all available personnel on site. Valentin forced himself to take a mental step back. He was used to being a caretaker, but if he hovered, he'd do more damage to Silver's reputation than if she collapsed. It had nothing to do with being the director of the world's biggest humanitarian organization, and everything to do with being Silver Merkant. Tough and in control, and without weakness.
I'm going to see if I can help send out survivors,
he said when the enforcement officer paused for breath. Silver's eyes met his, all frost and sexy intelligence.
Take the southeast quadrant. That sector has no changeling assistance, and the lights currently on site are limited. Your greater night vision will be welcome.
Realizing she'd received a telepathic update, he nodded. Would have left, but she said,
Valentin, be careful.
No change in her tone, but it was the words that mattered.
The debris is unstable.
Despite the circumstances, despite the permanent bruise on his heart, a smile formed inside him. Of all the changelings here, he was undoubtedly the one most able to survive half a building falling on him, but it was him she was warning.
You too, Starlight.
Bear ready, he headed to his assigned sector, but not before he found the young clanmate he'd scented nearby.
Devi.
He squeezed her skinny, dusty body into his arms, held her until her tremors eased.
You hurt?
A jerky shake of her head.
A few friends and I were about to go into the restaurant across the road when it happened.
Her voice broke, this member of his clan a bear with a soft heart and gentle hands.
I tried to help, get people out, but Zarina said I should stay back.
It had been the right call, given Devi's physical strength and skills. Now Valentin made another one.
Come on.
He took her to Silver.
Devi is an athlete,
he said when his brilliant star Lichka shot him a silent question.
A runner. Fast, with bare endurance.
Silver didn't question his word.
Wait here, she said to Devi. I'll be using you to run water to the rescuers in a moment.
Okay, sure.
No longer trembling, Devi reached back to tighten her ponytail.
I can do that.
Valentin was already turning to head to the quadrant Silver had assigned him. He caught sight of Krychek lifting off large pieces of rubble in the distance, but even the telekinetic was having to go slow, his movements based on information passed to him by a red-haired changeling Valentin recognized as a Black Edge Wolf. An engineer doing double duty, scenting survivors and planning the safest actions Krychek could take. Krychek was a power, but if the Cardinal moved the wrong piece, the debris would collapse like a house of cards, crushing any survivors within. Valentin saw no more of how it went. He'd reached his quadrant to find a mixed group of Psi and human first responders. The medics had been ordered to stand back, but the others were picking up and moving pieces of the broken building with painstaking care. Spotting Valentian, an older woman called a halt.
Your nose as good as a wolf's?
Ignoring the tired attempt at a joke, Valentian began to climb the pile of rubble, careful to ensure his weight was in no danger of causing a collapse. Sweat and desperation, the rescuer's own sense, were pungent in the air. But he was a bare alpha. He knew how to filter out unwanted scents. Chert.
Has the gas been turned off?
Chapter 16.
Yeah, at the city's system mains.
The speaker was wearing the gear of Moscow's fire safety crews, the reflective stripes bright on his jacket.
You smell a leak? There are discreet pockets.
Gas wasn't a common fuel any longer, except in older buildings like this one, where conversion wasn't worth the cost, but Valentian knew the scent.
That's probably from right after the initial collapse, the fireman called back. It took 10 minutes for someone to request gas be cut off.
Having scented nothing that went against the other man's hypothesis, Valentian continued on, but not before yelling down,
Make sure Silver Merchant has that information.
He was aware of his every tiny move as he navigated the jagged mountain of debris. If gas was trapped within, a single spark could ignite molten death.
Help. Please.
Valentian froze.
I hear you.
He focused on the area where he'd heard the sign of life, soon scented the air exhale on a living breath. It was the most precarious part of the rubble.
Is there anyone else with you? Daughter.
A gurgle followed that single word.
Just...
The man was dying.
Will you permit a telepath to scan your mind so a telekinetic can get you out?
He called down, aware even Krychek needed a face to lock onto. The response came not in the original male voice, but in a shaky female one.
No. Never.
Some things, Valentian thought, were worse than death.
This is Alpha Nikolaev. You have my word that your minds will not be touched,
he said, so they wouldn't fear a psychic invasion. His bears might cause trouble in Moscow, but they were also well-liked because they always stepped in to help if someone was in trouble. 2 weeks earlier, Pasha had stopped traffic so an elderly lady could cross the street. The lunatic Moscow drivers had called out a slew of insults as they hooted impatiently, but the lady had kissed Pasha on both cheeks, then taken him home to feed him lunch.
Spasiba, Alpha Nikolaev,
the survivor whispered.
Trust you.
Shifting his attention to the rescuers waiting below, he said,
Here,
and pointed at the exact spot.
Two alive!
Silver's located a couple more structural engineers.
It was the same woman who'd spoken to him when he first arrived.
One will be here in a minute.
A minute's wait might well prove fatal, but if Valentian began to throw around the wreckage in an effort to clear it off them, he could crush the very people he was attempting to save.
Hold on,
he ordered the survivors in his most alpha tone.
We're coming to get you out.
He spent the time till the engineer's arrival searching for more survivors. The acrid smoke of burned flesh, the metallic sting of blood mingled with alcohol fumes, the warm tones of seared wood. He scented that and more, but no other voices called out to him, and he smelled no more living breaths. By the time he climbed back down with careful hands and a heart on which sat a huge metal anvil, the engineer had come up with a plan to get to the trapped survivors. Valentian listened, began to lift. His muscles burned, but he had no intention of stopping until they'd saved two people trapped in hell. The Human Patriot. He watched the footage streaming in from Moscow with interest. It didn't take him long to spot Silver Merchant. It'd be so convenient to take her out now, but unfortunately that didn't suit his plans. Nor did it suit the plans of the fools who were helping him achieve his aims while believing him a power-hungry sociopath like them. Silver had to be removed quietly from the equation. He didn't want the world uniting behind her assassination, trying to be better than violence. It was pure luck that his associates had the same goal. No one had argued with his idea of a domestic poisoning. The Merchants, after all, would never air their dirty laundry. Human he might proudly be, but money talked even to Sai, and he had his informants. He knew all about the Merchants and the opaque shield they kept between themselves and the rest of the world. Their cold arrogance could be utilized as effectively against them. All this, the bombing in Moscow, it was a good distraction from his far more intelligent strategies. Sad that good humans had to die, but that was the way of war. People had to understand what was at stake, the ruin to come if those pushing Trinity were permitted to have their way. He'd kill every human on the planet before he allowed them to be turned into slaves. Chapter 17.
We are, all of us, better than we believe ourselves to be.
Adrian Kenner, Peace Negotiator, Territorial Wars, 18th Century. Silver drank half a bottle of water into which she'd poured a nutrient sachet provided by a member of the emergency medical team. She'd also had Devi run similarly doctored bottles to the rescuers. The girl was thin, but she was bare tough, and Silver was using her to the edge of her endurance. Devi didn't complain. She thrived. Silver, meanwhile, was coordinating every facet of the rescue and security operation, because if this hadn't been a lone, radical, or unhinged individual, and those behind him wanted to cause secondary casualties, now would be the time to strike. That in mind, she made a call.
"This is Silver Merchant,"
she said into the dot of the microphone mounted on her collar.
"What do you need?"
An ice-cold voice responded.
"A security cordon at the site of the Moscow bombing."
The locals she'd put on the cordon were doing their best, but there weren't enough of them, and she couldn't request more officers without leaving other parts of the city vulnerable.
"Possibility of a secondary strike."
"Understood." Silver hung up, confident the deadly men and women of the Arrow Squad would respond to her request. Aiden Kai, their leader, had made it known to Silver that MNET could count on Arrow assistance. The only reason they hadn't already appeared was because of the executive memo she'd sent out a month earlier, requesting that signatories to the Trinity Accord not independently respond to an emergency situation that wasn't in their local area and where MNET had a presence.
"All our resources cannot be pooled in one place at one time," she'd written. "Such a concentration makes it very difficult for MNET to mobilize rescuers to emergencies in other areas. Give us time to assess the situation and send out a call for the help required."
Now that she'd sent out that call, however, the arrows appeared in a matter of seconds. Vasic Zen. The only known TKV in the world, a man who wasn't a teleport-capable telekinetic, but a born teleporter. He wasn't worn out by teleporting. For him, it was akin to breathing. The black-clad men and women he'd brought in spread out on the perimeter, a small but highly effective unit. One arrow, it was said, was worth 20 trained and experienced soldiers.
"Ms. Merchant."
A polite telepathic contact, Vasic Zen's mental voice as clear as Arctic ice. She saw him in the distance, a tall form made distinctive in silhouette by his loss of an arm. It had been amputated after a failed biofusion experiment, the details of which were so classified that even Merchants hadn't been able to find out much more. None of that concerned Silver right now. What mattered was that Vasic Zen was the Arrow's second-in-command, with the attendant skills.
"Do you have specific instructions for my team?"
"Do what's necessary," she replied. "You're the security experts."
That the arrows had broken free of those who'd used them as a death squad didn't change their lethal gifts and skills. 3 minutes later, she received an update.
The cordon is now airtight, Vasek said. However, there may be devices planted inside that cordon.
Silver took in his deadly summation, while on the vocal level she issued instructions to the traffic controllers to continue to block a particular roadway to general traffic. She needed that roadway for the emergency vehicles moving in and out of the site.
My changeling friends tell me there's a specific scent to the most commonly used family of explosives even before they are detonated, Vasek continued. Something from that family appears to have been used in the initial attack. You should warn all changelings in the area to be on alert for that scent. If any of them need an exemplar, I've teleported in a sample and am now giving it to your runner.
Devi returned less than a minute later with a sealed container in the palm of her hand. Silver opened it to see a minute amount of an inert gray-white substance that to her had no scent.
Smell this, she said to the girl.
Devi did, twisted her nose.
Ugh! It smells like the explosion, but more raw.
You can differentiate between the two?
No problem. It's the difference between a hard green fruit and a ripe one.
I want you to run this to every single changeling inside the cordon and tell them to shout an alert if they smell even a hint of it in the area. Understood?
The girl's nod was immediate.
You think there might be more bombs?
We have to assume the worst.
A message popped up on Silver's phone as Devi left on her task. It was an update on the first survivor they'd discovered after Silver's arrival, a man who'd been rushed to the nearest hospital minutes earlier. Dead on arrival. Catastrophic percussive injuries, multiple loss of limbs. DNA identification unsuccessful, prints unavailable. Image being forwarded. Silver added that image to the file she'd already opened. Unlike Sai, humans weren't always in a DNA database. That could pose severe difficulties when it came to identifying the injured and dead so their families could be contacted. Many of the bodies were being pulled out in shattered pieces. Silver didn't even have faces for several of the confirmed dead. The bomber had achieved his or her aim of maximum damage. Valentian had to grip his impatience in a tight fist as the engineer called out, step by tiny step, how to safely remove the rubble from above the survivors Valentian had found. Neither the man nor the woman had spoken in the past 5 minutes.
Next!
He yelled out after passing down a chunk of a wooden beam to the person in the living chain behind him.
The large piece at 1410 hours,
the engineer called out, his eyes on the scanner with which he was mapping the ruin of the bar.
Can you move it?
Valentian didn't bother answering back. He just reached out and hauled off the piece in a single move. The problem came when he went to pass it to the next person in the chain. It was a changeling, but not a bear. The wolf thought fast.
You and you,
he called to the next two people in the line. The three of them took hold of the piece with a grunt, started to carry it down. Valentian didn't watch except to make sure they could handle it. If they dropped it, it could crash through the rubble, collapsing it onto the survivors. When he saw that the wolf was managing to take at least half the weight, with the other two supporting effectively, he turned back to the hole he'd created.
317,
the engineer called out. Valentian shook his head.
It's big enough. Get me some rope.
That rope was sent up with alacrity. He asked two burly human construction workers who'd moved up the line when the wolf and the other two began to head down to anchor the rope.
Got it, boss,
one of them said, his beard short and orange and his build close enough to Valentian's that he might have been a bear if not for his scent. Valentian fed the rest of the rope down into the hole while the two construction workers set their feet apart and gripped the rope tight.
Ready?
Both men nodded. Valentian took a grip on the rope and began to lower himself. He could have easily jumped down. He was no feline. They were fucking bouncy when they landed, but he was solid. However, when he'd looked into the hole, his bear's night vision penetrating the darkness as if it didn't exist, he'd seen the survivors almost directly below. He managed to bring himself down to the left of their tangled bodies, the construction workers holding strong even when he swung off to the side.
Cert vos moi,
he muttered when he saw the woman's dress. It was all pretty and flowy and white. The bride was a broken doll in the wreckage, her father's hand tight on hers as he lay at a right angle to her, his lower body crushed so badly that it was a miracle he'd survived even a minute. Valentian's gut twisted. He knew what he was going to find even before he knelt and checked the gray-haired man's pulse. Nothing. His skin cold.
Come, Milochka,
he murmured to the bride.
Tell me you made it.
He pressed his fingers against her skin. Cool, but not cold. A fluttering heartbeat.
She's alive!
Sliding out his phone, he snapped a photograph of her amidst the rubble. He sent it directly to the number he'd been forwarded for Vasek Zen. The bride disappeared a second after he'd sent the photo. An instant later, so did her father, though Valentian had tagged the man as deceased. The father had only been in the image because Valentian had wanted to be sure the arrow had enough visuals to do the remote teleport. The teleporter was only supposed to be asked to retrieve survivors, not the dead.
You're a good man, Vasek Zen,
Valentian murmured before gripping the rope and hauling himself up and out.
We got a survivor?
One of the construction workers asked with a hopeful smile.
We got a survivor!
He yelled it loud enough to carry to the engineer and others below.
The bride!
A huge cheer went up. The construction worker who hadn't spoken wiped away a burst of tears.
Fuck, man,
he said in American-accented English before switching to Russian.
There's just been too many dead.
Valentian clapped him on the shoulder.
Let's keep going. We don't know who else is trapped below.
Even as he started to do exactly that, he had to battle the urge to check in on Silver. His Starlight should have been in bed, resting. Instead, she was here, fighting to clean up a mess of violence, fighting to save lives. Because she was Silver fucking Merchant, and she was as tough as any bear in Stonewater, including its alpha. The Unknown Architect. The architect of the consortium looked at the raw footage feeding out of Moscow. It was being reported as a terrorist strike undertaken by a lone individual for which no group had taken credit. The consortium didn't take credit for its actions, but they also didn't cause violence without significant thought as to the advantages of any such action. They weren't fanatics or ideologues. Their entire reason for being was built on cold, hard thinking that led to political or financial gain. They weren't anti-Trinity, as often reported. That implied an ideological stance. No, it was the peace fostered by Trinity that was an impediment to their goals. From a purely financial perspective for certain members of the consortium, there was far more profit in instability and war. For others, like the architect, peace offered no path to power. War and panic did. It was all about the cost-benefit ratio. Whoever had hit the wedding reception in Moscow had undertaken no such rational calculation. If their aim had been to destabilize the city, they'd failed in a spectacular fashion. The media had highlighted Caleb Krychek in the footage, as well as the problematic to the consortium Silver Merchant. A changeling alpha, Valentian Nikolaev of the Stonewater Bears, had also been identified by the media, along with wolves from the Black Edge Pack and non-predatory changelings, including mountain ponies. Human medical staff, engineers, and enforcement officers were working side by side with their Psy and changeling compatriots. The rapid, coordinated response was a poster child for Trinity. As it would be in the city called home by the director of MNET and by the most powerful telekinetic in the world. Not only that, but the violently powerful Stonewater and Black Edge changelings also had an open line of communication, offering no room for sowing discord. Moscow was simply not a good target for anyone who wanted to cause maximum damage. Switching off the feed,
The architect turned their mind to their own business interests. The consortium had nothing to do with the badly planned Moscow attack, and as such, the bombing needed none of the architect's attention. As for Silver Merchant, perhaps it was time to get an update on that operation. A shame to eliminate someone of her abilities, but she'd chosen her fate when she accepted the directorship of MNET. If the architect had believed she could be turned, an approach would have been made. However, while the architect had rethought the invitation to Ina Merchant after deciding the woman was too intelligent and might prove a threat to the architect's role as the puppet master of this operation, the reason for not approaching her granddaughter was far different. Silver Merchant appeared to be taking the equal treatment of all parties aspect of her job seriously. Unfortunate. Chapter 18.
Trust to a merchant is a complicated thing. It usually requires years of acquaintance, several background checks, and a probationary period.
Ina Merchant, circa 2074. Dawn was a bare 2 hours distant when Silver made the call no one in her position ever wanted to make. The rescue effort was now a recovery operation. No survivors had been discovered over the past 2 hours, and the rescuers all agreed on a lack of signs of life. Sai with their telepathic scans, changelings with their peerless sense of smell and acute hearing, and humans with a high-tech imaging scanner that had been brought to the site by a local geology professor.
No heat signatures, the black-haired woman with dark brown skin and softly up-tilted eyes had said to Silver, lines of exhaustion bracketing her mouth as she stood with her back to the wreckage of the bar.
Valentin, his body and hair covered with dust and his mouth set in a grimmer line than she'd ever seen it, had just shaken his head. He'd found the final survivor, a young man he'd carried out of the rubble in his own arms after the teleporters had been called away to take 3 severely wounded survivors directly to the trauma ward. The doctors had asked them to stay and lift the wounded using telekinesis so that the victim's crushed bodies could be examined without causing those bodies any further harm. No one had found anything since then. Bathed in the hard white glow of the powerful lights Silver had organized early into the rescue effort, the ruins of the bar appeared a spotlit tomb. While Valentin and the others began to do what they could to help retrieve the bodies, Silver sat and collated the numbers. She already knew them, of course.
75% fatality rate,
she said to the head of the on-site medical team, the man who'd triaged the victims.
Another 10% are so badly injured that their chances of survival are low to negligible.
The doctor, his face stark, sat on the tailgate of an ambulance and stared out at the destruction.
I guess we got lucky there wasn't a secondary explosive.
Yes.
The changelings had reported no signs of any suspicious scents, and the arrows had done a sweep for covert devices and unearthed nothing.
You should stand down your team.
The doctor glanced toward the exhausted group. They sat in silence in the cordoned-off part of the dusty street, their heads hanging.
It's hard. Being a healer and not being able to do anything.
With those quiet words, the human male left to pick up the pieces of his devastated team. Silver, her own legs shaky from fatigue, nonetheless made time to personally speak to all the other team leaders, bar one. Valentin, she saved for last. As the most senior changeling, he'd taken charge of the other changeling responders. No one had disagreed with his leadership, partisan lines laid aside in this time of emergency. She found him with Caleb. He greeted her with a scowl.
You planning to faceplant?
He asked in a low, rumbling tone, his eyes suddenly ringed with amber.
I wasn't planning to, no,
Silver said coolly, though her entire body was warning her it had reached critical.
The recovery teams are en route. We'll be here in 3 minutes.
She'd put them on standby an hour earlier.
I've cut all the rescuers loose. The retrieval teams have the right equipment to safely clear the debris and recover the bodies and body parts still trapped in the blast zone.
Valentian's expression didn't ice over at her cold recitation as changeling and human eyes so often did when she spoke. They thought that because she could be so calm, the loss of life meant nothing to her. Silver had never bothered to tell people that just because she didn't feel didn't mean that blood and death skated past her without impact. So much potential had been lost this night. The vast majority of those inside the bar, people just starting out in their adult lives. That most of them had been human didn't change anything. Or perhaps that made it even more of a tragedy. Statistically, humans tended to be at the forefront of cutting-edge technological and artistic advances, though under silence, the Psi Council had often stolen their tech work. The human ability to think outside the box was why the business arm of Mercant Corp employed a significant number in its science and tech enterprises. Hiring good people and paying them well, and also protecting their minds with their own telepathic shields, was far more efficient than forcibly stealing ideas.
Silver,
Caleb said, his tone as impossible to read as always.
Valentian is right. You'll set back your recovery by days if you keep pushing yourself.
I'm well aware of that.
You're finished here, then?
Valentian angled his body slightly toward her, as if to break a fall he saw coming.
Almost. I need to complete the handover to the recovery commander when he arrives. The Arrows have agreed to provide security during the recovery process, in conjunction with a team of Blackedge soldiers Alpha Durev is sending in.
Valentian's face held the harsh echo of sadness, his alpha heart feeling too much, but his lips kicked up a fraction.
So we two idiotes should shut the hell up and stop telling you what to do?
I knew the dust hadn't fogged up your brain.
Silver walked away to the sight of his eyes burning a wild, changeling amber. Valentian opened the passenger door to his vehicle, having driven it closer now that the area was horrifically quiet, somber with resignation and the shadow of death. Silver got in, would have slipped if he hadn't caught her arm, given her a boost. She didn't say anything until after he'd gotten into the driver's seat and begun to back the vehicle in preparation for a turn.
Спасибо.
Valentian wanted to grumble at her for letting herself get to this state, but Starlight had made her point earlier. Valentian wasn't about to lose her by being a rampaging bear, all wild emotion and no sense. Even if he wanted to yell at her, then cuddle her close, hold her safe. Gritting his teeth, he found some human words.
What do you need once we're home? I'll tag Nova, have her on standby.
I just need to rest. No medications, no other treatments.
You eat at the site?
No, but I'm not sure I have the strength to chew right now.
Bear half mad by now, Valentian made a call, asked Chaos to prepare a nutritious soup.
No need to chew,
he said to Silver afterward. He was expecting a smart comeback, but she stayed silent. Her profile was a clean line, her lips soft, her skin pale and her eyes heavy. The vulnerability of her, the trust it exhibited that she'd chosen to come home with him when she could have asked for a teleport anywhere, it caught his bear's heart in a grip both soft and steely. That grip was formed of pure starlight. He got them to Denholm as fast as safely possible. Chaos hadn't let him down, despite the early morning hour, and had hot bowls of soup waiting. Silver barely got half a bowl into herself before she fell asleep, her head pillowed on her arms. Resisting the temptation to sneak a petting stroke of her hair was hard. Better nature finally winning out over his bear's grumbling protests, he scooped her up into his arms to carry her to her room. First, however, he had to scowl at Yakov, who'd tried to beat him to the punch. The other man shrugged.
I just wanted to touch her hair. Go pet Pasha's hair.
Valentin snuggled Silver's sleeping body closer.
She's mine. She know that? I'm working on it.
Glaring away any other bears who might be tempted to come close, he got her into a room without further interruptions. She was dusty from the sight, no doubt sweaty too, but he wasn't about to strip her. He told Nova not to either after his sister responded to his request to check on Silver and make certain that rest was indeed all she needed.
I'm taking off her boots at least.
Nova put those boots by the side of the bed, while Valentian pulled a blanket over Silver's body.
Rest well, Starlight.
His own body ached, but he was an alpha bear, could have gone on for another day if necessary. If he had his way, he'd spend that time watching over Silver. Ah, who was he kidding? Give him free rein, and he'd curl himself around her like a living blanket. He'd listen to the beat of her heart, feel the soft heat of her breath, the delicate strength of her bones.
Come on, little brother.
Nova wrapped an arm around his waist.
You need to finish your own meal. Then you can grab some sleep and dream of your Starlichka.
Throwing an arm around her shoulders, he tugged her close, this sister of his who'd become the one he went to with his childhood hurts once his mother, Galina, stopped seeing him, stopped seeing all of them. At only a year older than Valentian, Nika had been as young and bewildered, while Stasia had been their fire. So angry for their shattered family that she'd picked 100 furious battles with clanmates who couldn't see through her rage to her pain. It was Nova who'd held them together with her healer's warmth. Nova who'd refused to embrace anything but love. Nova who'd made him his favorite snacks and told him she was proud of him when he did well at school. Their maternal grandparents had taken the adult role when it became clear Galina was barely hanging on, but it was Nova all three of them had turned to in their darkest moments. Valentian often thought healers had the strongest hearts of any changeling.
I love you, Novochka.
A startled smile.
I know, Mishka.
She patted his chest, her hand that of a healer, nails clipped short and devoid of the ornamentation she so loved on every other part of herself.
Your love is like a force of nature. Even as a cub, once you decided a person was yours, you didn't let go.
Smile fading, she said,
Tell me how it was at the site.
Horrible,
he said honestly.
So much death, so much loss. The only good thing about it was Silver.
He forced himself not to look back at her room, more than a little afraid his bear would waltz right in and make itself at home.
You should have seen her at work. She's like a contained storm.
Handling 100 things at once with no sign of strain or stress.
People trust her to be competent because there's no way a woman that powerful and that in control would ever be otherwise.
Your crush is getting worse.
Nova patted his back, but when she looked up, her eyes were solemn.
I like Silver, but she's incredibly shy, Mishka. No cracks that I can see.
Valentian knew what she was trying to say.
She's in Denholm now.
In bear territory.
Anything's possible.
Just take care of yourself, okay?
Nova leaned her head against him, her glossy dark curls tumbling around her head.
You're carrying too much on that heart of yours already.
She pressed her free hand over his heart.
The weight shouldn't all be yours.
Closing his hand over hers, he shook his head.
I'm Alpha, Nova.
Meant to carry that weight. Meant to bleed to fix what was broken, and meant to love a woman as strong as a fiery star. Silver woke to the feel of data at the edge of her senses, messages and information having built up against her mind while she slept. She held back the flood as she took stock of her body and mind. After she determined that though her body ached, she was otherwise healthy, she checked the time and realized she'd been asleep for almost 22 hours. No wonder she was thirsty and hungry. Pushing up into a seated position, she saw 2 notes on the bedside table. Both were propped up against a jug of water in which swam slices of fresh orange. Silver poured herself a glass, drank it down, then read the neatly folded note card.
"Someone in Denholm is always up, so there's always food available. Don't worry about asking for it, no matter when you wake. Just ask to be directed to the kitchen. Nova."
The other note was a piece of paper torn from a notebook.
"Hope you had a good sleep, Starlight. Now go eat so much you want to burst. Mr. I.M.A. Medvedjonok."
What kind of an alpha signed his message, "Mr. I am a teddy bear"? Only Valentian. Carefully placing the note under her phone, she pushed back her hair. Her hands came away coated with dust. No one, she knew, had touched her after Valentian put her to bed. He wouldn't have allowed anyone else to handle her. He was incredibly possessive, and she was well aware he was trying to brand her as his in ways he probably thought were subtle. He wouldn't succeed, but she appreciated that he always protected her. It was slightly disconcerting to realize she hadn't awakened, even when he'd picked her up and brought her here. Then again, her trust in him was hardly inexplicable, she thought as she rose to her feet. Valentia Nikolaev had saved her life. More than that, she'd come to know that the rough-edged Alpha of Stonewater was a man of blunt honor and unimpeachable integrity. She was safe with him. The thought sank deep inside her, an echo that reverberated through her bones. Telling herself the unexpected sensation was nothing but a sensory blip, she began to strip off her filthy clothing. She also needed to strip the sheets on the bed, but that could wait. Getting out of the hot shower after a long 20 minutes that helped ease the lingering aches in her body, she prepared to leave her room. This time, she decided to leave her hair down. Fresh underwear, a pair of dark brown corduroy pants, and a thin gray sweater was her choice of outfit. On her feet went socks and the half boots that were no longer covered in dust but shined to a mirrored gloss. She paused with the left boot in her hand, staring at the gleaming leather. She understood enough of the changeling's communal nature to guess that whoever had done it had done so for no reason but to be helpful. They wouldn't expect anything from her except a spasiba if she happened upon their name. Cooperation and a sharing of resources was the foundation of the changeling way of life. Psi families were meant to work the same way. The merchants did. But not even in her own family would anyone have cleaned her boots. They'd have checked her health status, made certain she had any and all medical help she needed. But this small touch of care wouldn't be on even Arwen's radar. It was simply the way they'd been raised. Pulling on the boot, Silver had to accept the realization that even her tightly knit family had lost something in silence. But what had been lost could be regained. All it would take was a change in how merchants raised their young. Making a mental note to speak to her grandmother about that, she got up to locate the kitchen. She would strip the bed after she'd eaten and caught up on the messages crowding her brain. As for the ones stacked up on her email, she began to download them onto her phone to see if there was anything urgent. While that was in process, she scanned the telepathic messages. Caleb's psychic imprint caught her eye.
"Silver,"
he'd telepathed.
"Selenka's team informs me that cleanup at the site will be complete in 36 hours. Autopsies are in progress, and enforcement forensic teams are working double shifts to process as much material as they can. They have recovered parts of the individual believed to be the bomber, a human local to the area. DNA verified."
The date and timestamp showed the telepathic message had been routed to her about 2 hours earlier. He hadn't sent her any further updates. Neither had her grandmother or Arwen. Deciding to follow up after she was fed and at full strength, Silver glanced at her phone as she exited the room.
Valentian's name jumped out. The message was untitled. He'd never before emailed her. She tapped his message open.
You're right. This email invention is amazing. You can even send photos.
He'd included a photo of two bear cubs in bear form, tidily eating ice cream from cones held carefully between their paws. Below the image were the words,
"It's really good ice cream."
Closing, but not deleting, the message that continued their long-running ice cream conversation, she realized she'd reached the cavern. The den was quiet this early in the morning, and she hadn't run into anyone else. But now she found herself on the receiving end of a brilliant smile from Devi, the young woman fresh-faced and with her hair in a ponytail. She was dressed in black running shorts and a blue athletic tee with white stripes on the sides, her feet bare.
"You must be hungry," Devi said. "Come on, I'll show you to the kitchen. Did you have a good rest?"
"Yes, thank you."
"Here you go."
Devi pointed out a wide internal entrance.
"Sorry to show and take off, but I'm meeting a friend for a run."
A pause, her smile fading.
"Thank you for letting me help at the site. I needed to help."
"You were an asset."
The young woman hadn't stopped until Silver did.
"I hope you rested as well."
"Oh, sure, but I'm a bear. We're tough."
She left with a smile and a wave. Silver watched her go before walking into the huge communal kitchen to which Devi had led her. It was nearly empty, holding just a few people preparing what appeared to be items for breakfast. The youngest looked to be about 6 years old. Wearing pajamas of pale blue fleece, his hair sticking up in light brown tufts, he was sitting on a counter, carefully peeling mandarin oranges and putting them into a bowl.
"Miss Merchant."
Turning at the sound of that deep male voice, Silver found herself facing a tall, square-jawed male with skin of ebony. If Valentian was all rough edges and crags, this man could have walked out of a modeling catalog or from the files of those families who aimed for not only psychic power in their bloodline, but also physical beauty.
"Please take a seat here and I'll bring you something to eat."
Unlike all the other bears she'd met to date, he didn't smile at her. Chapter 19. Food is to a bear what a hug is to a human. Author unknown.
"Thank you."
Silver took a seat on one of the stools at the counter nearest the door. Bowls of fruit, snack bars, and a clear jar of cookies sat on one end. The model beautiful man brought her a tall glass filled with a familiar liquid.
"I was able to source a jar of nutrient drink for you."
Having not expected that courtesy after his cool greeting, Silver said,
"Thank you. I appreciate it."
Nutrient drinks were the fastest way to beat psychic fatigue.
"Not a problem."
Still no smile, his face all smooth skin and flawless symmetry, his shaved head only serving to bring the perfect lines of his face into sharper focus.
"I'll bring you a plate of solid food, too."
From his curt manner, Silver came to the conclusion that this changeling was unhappy about her presence in Denholm. Then he brought her the plate of food. It held high-energy items, all of which she knew were naturally light on flavor. As if correctly reading her response, though she'd made no betraying movements or sounds, the man, who she guessed to be the cook, said,
"I did a little research. Recipes are creeping online now, with Sai starting to step out of their comfort zone."
"You took extra time out of your day. I appreciate that."
The faintest thawing of his features, his light brown eyes wrinkling at the corners.
"You're welcome."
After he moved back to supervise the other workers in the kitchen, who were shooting Silver curious looks, but oddly for bears, keeping their distance, Silver watched him without appearing to watch him. He was calm and competent and clearly respected. Pair those traits with his symmetrical good looks, and if anyone should have provoked a reaction in Silver, it was this man. Yet she couldn't stop herself from keeping an eye and ear open for Valentian's booming laugh, his overwhelming, uncivilized presence.
Hey, if you have a thing for chaos, you'd better tell Mishka now.
Silver glanced at Nova as the healer took a seat beside her at the counter. The other woman was wearing a scoop-necked and wide-skirted dress in leaf green, with small white flowers dotted randomly over the fabric. It had three-quarter-length sleeves that exposed the tattoo on her forearm, which Silver had already noted. Two letters, one big, one small, circled by a pattern of hearts and stars. Neither initial was Nova's.
What?
She said, focusing on the most pertinent matter.
Is a thing.
Oh, come on, Silichka.
Nova reached up to fix the jaunty ponytail she'd tied with a white ribbon.
You know exactly what I mean, so don't pull that I am a Psy robot stuff with me.
Silver returned to her meal, considered her answer in between keeping an eye on her steady stream of phone and telepathic messages.
I'm silent, Nova. I choose to be silent.
You sure?
Quite sure.
Then why were you checking out Chaos?
I wanted to see if he wasn't smiling at me because he doesn't like Psy, or if he simply doesn't smile at anyone.
Weirdly, that makes sense.
Nova sighed and, propping her elbows on the counter, cupped her chin in her hands and turned huge dark eyes in the direction of the cook.
That hunk of a man does smile, but he doles it out like it's a rare spice and he's only got a limited supply.
Chaos, who'd been walking toward them, shot Nova a scowling look.
Eat this.
He thrust a plate across the counter with that terse command in English.
And stop telling lies about me.
Blowing him a kiss, Nova beamed at the small, perfectly decorated cake Chaos had given her before answering in the same language he'd used.
Chocolate cake for breakfast? I love you, honey bunny.
Scowl deepening, the changeling male reached over and, gripping Nova's pointed chin, kissed the healer on her lushly painted lips. When he drew back, she lifted the cloth napkin he'd brought over and wiped the hot pink color off his lips.
Good morning to you too, moi daragoi Alik,
Nova said, alerting Silver that Chaos had a given name quite different from how he was usually addressed.
Now go be your sexy, tall, gorgeous, and silent self.
Chaos gave what Silver read as an exasperated sigh before he moved back toward his work crew, who did a very bad job of hiding their grins.
You all want a second kitchen shift?
He growled and got a wave of shaking heads, grins still wide.
Then back to your jobs.
He's your mate?
Silver asked under the cover of industrious activity.
Yes.
Nova's smile was gleeful.
All mine since we were 18.
Forking up a bite of cake, she made a humming sound in the back of her throat that had Chaos watching her with intense interest from the other side of the kitchen. Nova blew him another kiss.
My love always says he won me by winning my stomach.
Did he?
Nova gave a throaty laugh.
I knew that grouchy polar bear was mine the day I first saw him in Babushka Karolina's birth clan, when she took all us grandchildren along for a visit when I was 16.
A dreamy smile.
But I had to play a little hard to get, didn't I? Give him a chance to court me.
Another bite of the cake.
Boy, does that man know how to court a woman.
Do you have children?
The barnacle is ours.
Her eyes shimmered with maternal love.
Stasia looked after him last night, so he'll still be cuddled up in bear form with her. He likes sleeping over at his aunt's because, like aunts the world over, she spoils him silly.
Nova said before raising her voice.
Talking of small bears, I see someone is still sneaking out of bed before dawn.
The little brown-haired boy giggled. Smile wide,
Nova nudged her plate toward Silver.
You want to go wild and try some?
Shaking her head, Silver replied to an urgent message on her phone.
I apologize, she said to Nova afterward. I'm receiving MNET updates.
Sure, I get it.
Nova's expression turned serious.
I did a shift at the hospital while you were asleep. I'm officially on staff in case of emergencies where a bear is taken in, but I figured they could use all possible backup with so many badly wounded.
Silver met the other woman's eyes.
I haven't had a chance to read the report on the survivors.
13 made it past the first few hours.
Nova put down her fork.
11 look like they might recover fully, but it's contingent on no infections or complications. The other two are hovering in that twilight that could go either way.
Chaos moved across the kitchen with a mug of coffee. After placing it in front of Nova, he ran his hand over her hair. Though the couple exchanged no words, Nova's sadness no longer seemed as heavy a black cloud when her mate returned to his work.
I don't understand people who carry out these crimes, she said. I mean, what does it achieve?
Logic isn't what drives them.
Silver had seen evidence of that truth over and over again.
The pure Psi fanatics who attacked the Snow Dancer Pack in the Sierra Nevada mountains were convinced theirs was a righteous war that would make the world turn in the direction they wanted.
They'd believed the Psi race was stronger and more powerful under silence, that any alternate existence was untenable.
It never occurs to them that others may not agree with their goals.
Silver needed silence, but that was her choice. No one had the right to dictate it. Nova's lips parted before she looked over her shoulder without warning. Silver didn't need to turn to see what had caught the other woman's attention. The tiny hairs on the back of her neck had just reacted as if electrified, her heart slamming against her ribcage. Not in primal warning, in an awareness she'd been attempting to stamp out since the day Valentin Mikhailovich Nikolaev first entered her life.
You look terrible, Mishka.
Nova got up, slipping a scanner out of the, now expected, large pockets of her calf-length dress.
Sit. Let me take your readings.
I'm fine. Just tired.
Valentin grabbed the stool beside Silver's, sitting with his back to the counter, elbows braced on the granite and his big body humming with energy. His scent washed over her. Clean sweat and more, a layer that was distinctly earthy. Distinctly, roughly, Valentin. Ignoring the telepathic and electronic messages pinging at her, none of them urgent, she took in the lines of strain on his face, the bruised shadows under his eyes.
You haven't been to sleep.
I got 4 hours. We had a senior sentry go down with a broken leg, and another because of idiocy.
Pure aggravation in every word.
I covered for them rather than put someone less experienced on the perimeter.
Silver knew she was a big part of the reason he'd made that decision. She'd changed the balance of his clan, needed to leave before she caused any damage. About to suggest she move out today, her physical state not at 100%, but far better than it had been yesterday, she was interrupted by the sound of running feet. Pavel all but fell into the kitchen.
Did you see this?
He cried before the distinctive aqua green of his eyes landed on Silver. He snapped his left hand behind his back with bare swiftness, the dark brown of his hair falling over his forehead.
Never mind.
Spill it before I beat it out of you, Pasha.
Valentin's voice was a growly rumble.
Remember, you asked for it.
Pavel placed the organizer between Valentin and Silver before retreating out of reach.
Don't shoot the messenger!
Valentin swiveled in his stool so he faced the counter and the organizer that lay on it. His shoulder brushed her shoulder, but Silver's attention was on the headline that took up the entire screen but for the square reserved for a full-color photograph. The most surprising Psi-changeling romance yet,
A telepathic contact touched her mind at the same instant that the meaning of the headline actually penetrated. The contact was from one of the few people who had direct access to her, the telepathic pathway between them nearly 29 years in the making.
Silver, should I take these reports of your romance with the Stonewater Alpha seriously?
Of course not, Arwen.
Her brother withdrew, needing nothing other than her word. Silver, however, was still staring at the article.
Where is the romance in this image? We're both dusty and sweaty and standing at the Incident Command Center speaking with Caleb.
Nova leaned between them to look at the article.
Body language, she said in a definitive tone. Turned toward each other, standing closer than Sai usually stand to other people, way closer than either one of you is standing to Krychek.
She tapped her lower lip.
Also, Mishka's body is angled as if to protect you from anything that might come.
Give us a minute.
Valentian's tone was alpha in the truest sense. Stepping away, Nova went around to cuddle the boy who was peeling mandarin oranges, while Pavel returned the way he'd come.
You can't take this too seriously,
Valentian said with unusual quietness.
Making up stories out of thin air is what tabloids do.
It's not only in the tabloids.
Silver had already scanned the Psi-Net, found multiple other reports along the same lines, albeit less hyperbolic in tone.
Bring up the Moscow Daily.
Valentian hissed out a breath at first sight of the newspaper's home screen.
Boy.
Glancing over at the little boy with Nova, he cut off the rough word she was sure he'd been about to utter.
I thought this was an actual news site.
The Amnet director's connection to a powerful changeling alpha is considered news.
The Moscow Daily article was nowhere near as melodramatic or as long as that in the tabloid, but it was more dangerous.
They did their research. It states that you've been spotted leaving my apartment building multiple times.
Valentian had enough bare arrogance to have walked boldly past security on his way out, taunting them with the knowledge that he'd once again skirted their systems. Valentian's body rumbled beside her, the bear in him apparent in the primal timbre of his voice when he spoke.
It says the information came from a woman named Monique.
My neighbor. It's unlikely to have been malicious on her part. She talks about everything to everyone.
Silver didn't quite understand how Monique Ling held such a high-powered position in the fashion world, but perhaps fashion people all talked without pause.
We were once trapped together in a malfunctioning elevator for 10 minutes. At the end of it, I was aware of her entire life history.
Valentian couldn't read Silver, but he guessed she was coldly angry under her precise exterior. His Starlight did not like being at the forefront of the public's consciousness. She preferred to be in the background, tugging strings, gathering information, ensuring things moved in the direction she wanted. Valentian wasn't exactly a happy bear, either. He knew the best way to lose their private battle was to in any way corner Silver. Like a wild falcon, she'd fight to the death to get free. That was the whole reason why he'd launched plans sneaky like a cat.
Starlichka,
he said gently, trying to fix this.